The six candidates running for Haines Assembly joined KHNS and the Chilkat Valley News for a candidate forum at the Chilkat Center for the Arts this past Monday. The following hour and a half is a recording of that forum, which included questions for candidates from the public and from reporters. Welcome. Thanks for coming to the Haines Candidate Forum, you guys especially. I'm Tara. I'm Tara Bicknell, the News and Public Affairs Director at KHNS, and we have Tom Morfitt here with Chilkat Valley News, and we'll be co-moderating tonight. And we have some questions that we took in advance from public who couldn't be here tonight, and just so you know, none of the candidates have seen these questions yet. They haven't seen the ones coming from us, at least. There's still an opportunity to ask questions at the end. If there's anything we missed, you can write them down up here with your name on it and give it to us, and we'll ask it on your behalf. Or at the end, you can come on up here to the microphone, since we are recording this for broadcast later, and you can ask at the end. We'll give you a chance to do that. And all the questions are timed. You have 1 minute for the introductory remarks, and then 30 seconds for other questions, and then a minute at the end for anything we might have missed. And we did set record on this puppy, so we will be broadcasting it. We decided Thursday at 10 a.m., that's September 30th, Thursday morning, in case you want to catch this again or if anyone missed it who couldn't be here tonight. That's about it. We'll let you know when the time is to come on up and ask a question at the end if you want to do that. And let's go ahead and introduce the candidates. We have, let me just make sure I get the seats right here. Seat E, we have Karen Hess and Greg Goodman and Dave Button. All right. And then for running for Assembly seat B, we have Steve Vick and John Wing and Linda Giese.
And I'm the only one that forgot who I was, so I broke the table.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. And we'll go ahead and get started here with the introductory question. If you just please do remember to introduce yourself before you speak, since we are recording this, so people who are listening know who you are. And if you take a minute to explain why you're running and what your priorities would be as an Assembly member and what relevant background you bring to this. And we'll also answer questions in rotation. We'll start with Karen, since you happen to sit on the far right here. And
I'm just trying to be closest to the door.
Good. Good strategies. We'll start with you, but then we'll go in rotation so everyone gets a chance to answer first and last.
So this is my introductory?
Right. In this question, you get 1 minute, and just to talk about your priorities as an Assembly member, if you would be elected to be one, and what maybe background you bring to the table. And just so you guys know, we've got a timer here. This is Susanna, our timer. She's got a halfway sign and a time sign, as you can see. So you've got, and then you've got a clock up here in the front to watch.
We've just received 5 questions from a single individual, so we're going to, I think our approach is going to be, when we go to the questions from the audience, to give each person a chance to ask one question, I guess if time allows and if everyone wants to sit around, we could go all night. Tara and I haven't nailed this down in terms of duration, but I think what we're going to do is probably go with one question from each individual around the house and through our list. And at the end of that, see how much more anybody can endure.
Thanks. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Karen Hess. I'm running in CE as a write-in candidate, so it's very important that you realize that I'm not on the ballot. So if you choose to vote for me, please write my name in CE under Greg Goodman's name, fill in the little oval. I just want voters to have an option on the ballot. I want to bring balance back to the Borough Assembly. I believe that we have too much of a liberal attitude, and I think that I would bring a conservative view, which would bring more balance. I'm a big advocate for local businesses, and I don't believe that our local businesses are being fairly represented. So one of my priorities is to make sure our local businesses are well taken care of and represented well on the Borough Assembly, and I believe that would be one of my biggest priorities, first priorities, and fiscally responsible government. So, time.
Very good.
Go ahead, Linda.
My name is Linda Giese. One of my major concerns for our community is, number one, fiscal responsibility. I have seen a big lack of fiscal responsibility, even though my opponent does tout that we have a balanced budget. I don't know if anyone has seen the draft fund balance or not, but it is a big concern for me. I bring to the table a 32-year residency here. I also bring former city council member. I was gone for 7 months and was elected, and the mayor made me come back and resign that position. He said, you got more votes than I did. Now, in the past, we have had a lot of difficulties. Fortunately, we were able to expedite a lot of the issues over the years, and we should be grateful to some of our former council members as well as borough members. Thank you.
My name is Greg Goodman, and I was the chief of police in Haines for 10 years. I worked in for the city of Haines and borough of Haines for a total of 17 years. I've got 29 years in law enforcement experience. My priorities are I'd like to address the reserve account, spend it down possibly, look at tax breaks for the citizens in the borough, recruit and retain qualified personnel in especially key management positions within the borough. I want to attract good qualified people and keep them once we get them. The 1% town site, or the 1% tourism sales tax, I'd like to look at that. Do we need to modify it? Do we need to reduce it? Do we need to do away with it? Do we need to redirect it? Thank you. Sell surplus property, get it back on the tax rolls. Hydropower and borough tour permits. Thank you.
Hello, I thank you for inviting me here. If you don't know me, my name is John Wing. I've been a resident of Haines for approximately 11 years. I've been in private business all my life. I've made budgets, I've kept them in, I've hired people. And I've also found out to be in business, you have to have customers. To have customers, you have to listen. I would like to see our town go ahead and work more together. I believe anybody that we need for any businesses, jobs, can be fulfilled from our community. I would really like to go forward and see if some of the improvements are made in our city streets and use the money that we have on hand to do this. I don't believe we need anything more in surplus than maybe 5 months or 6 months budget. Thank you.
My name is Steve Vick. I am the incumbent for seat B. I coach the swim team here. I teach at the preschool. I have a small business called Up North Media, upnorthmedia.net, that is. And let's see. I'd like to just give you an idea of what I've already done in my seat. I've worked on long-term projects. I've advocated for deferred maintenance. When I got into the assembly, there was no plan to take care of our deferred maintenance. Now we have a six-year plan. I've initiated short-term plans, such as just simply taking the plywood off some of our businesses that are closed downtown to make sure that downtown looks a little prettier for when the visitors come here. My approach has always been to listen first, ask questions, and then act in the best interest of the community. As for budgets, we've passed three balanced budgets. We have a reserve fund and the borough's in the black. I want to continue to have that fiscal responsibility throughout my next term. I want to invest in our infrastructure, and I want to see a downtown plan that helps develop our economy.
Go ahead, Dave.
Good evening, business friends of Haines. They call me the Robin Hood of the tour business. But a friend of mine from Illinois was at a similar meeting like this, and they asked Abe Lincoln, what would you do if you had 6 hours to cut down a tree? And he said, I would take 4 hours and sharpen the axe. That's what we need to do in the borough. Our axe isn't sharp enough. The marketplace determines the success of a business, not regulations that stifle imagination and creativity. We need to have a spark in the town that people will go away with a good feeling and work together.
Thanks. And next we'll go to some questions from reporters. Let me remind you, there's 30 seconds for this part here on out until the last opportunity to catch anything we might have missed. And I'm going to do the old new millennium reminder to shut off cell phones if you haven't already. Thanks. And we'll go ahead and start with Linda on this next question and keep going down the line the way we did before. Thanks, you guys. We kind of are wondering how the borough can support sustainable economic development that is healthy for the entire valley, the diverse valley, all sides. And you have 30 seconds.
In the past, the borough has, in fact, went out and looked for possibilities of revenue gain through industry, etc. We have some industries that are coming about, and we need to support them. Whether we like the industry, I have no idea. But if it's good for the community, it's good for everyone.
I think that we need to maintain the business base that we have now, keep them healthy, and that way we promote economic development within the community. If there's a healthy business within the community, they generate more revenue, they hire more people, it helps the economy.
I think we have to support all our businesses that are here. We have to support any businesses that want to come in. We're a free country, a free enterprise system, and we have to support all businesses. We may not like them, but if they can bring money to our community, we need to support.
Well, I'd say I agree with everyone, and here's the ideas I have on doing that. To increase business in town, I'd like to see tax incentives to encourage new businesses to move here. I'd like to see low-interest loans to help local businesses upgrade and grow. And I'd like to see 50-50 matching funds for businesses to help revitalize the downtown. Our fishing economy needs to grow, and I think we should corner the market in Whitehorse, Fairbanks, and the Lower 48. After all, we are connected to a road. And tourism can attract more regional traffic. I also think that we need to start shopping locally. A campaign I think maybe the Chamber and the Borough can team up together on. Thank you.
I agree with everyone's comments. I think those are all credible, and we should all work together.
Please go ahead, Karen.
I believe our local businesses need to be supported. I think one way that we could immediately generate some revenue around Haines to bring in some people would be to market Whitehorse and Juneau, but through special events. I think special events is something we can do really well. We showcase things quite well when they're here, when we do have a special event and it brings in money immediately. Long-term plan would be to get our business owners stable.
Thanks. Greg, we'll start with you on this one. Can you list something that the borough is doing right now and something that they're maybe heading in the wrong direction on?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think that they're sincerely trying to keep costs down. I do believe that they're directing money where it needs to go within the borough. I would like to see a more responsive borough personnel. In other words, when the public asks a question, I would like to see the question answered. In other words, in the past, I've asked questions of borough employees, especially in management, and never got a response. I'd like to see that change.
I believe the borough is doing many things right, but one of the things that I believe we really need to do is work on our roads and our deferred maintenance. If we have the money and the funds, we need to spend it. I don't think we need to give tax credits or give it back to the people. We got it. Let's fix up the stuff so we don't need it anymore.
I think something that has started to happen within the boroughs, we're starting to actually make plans. Downtown revitalization, deferred maintenance, and the comprehensive plan is finally being opened up. I think we can improve in our communication. I think between the school board, between advisory boards, and most certainly during public comment. I think the public needs to have a voice in the meetings and a voice through the many commissions and advisory boards that we have.
Wow, there's no end to challenges, and things change daily. Sometimes we get a little behind in Haines, and you can go on the internet and find out what's going on in the whole world. You don't have to necessarily live here to know what goes on here. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. The borough looks at the issues, they allow input, but there are not enough people involved. Only 48% vote, and I don't know how many aren't even registered.
Thanks.
What the borough is doing right, I believe the projects they've taken on is a good start. The harbor project needed to be done, badly needed. However, I was disappointed to see that after they got done with the harbor project that it decreased the amount of slips. We have fishermen leaving. We need those fishermen to be able to live here. Cruise ship waterfront project is a good one. Doing wrong, stifling some businesses. Roads need improvement. Not servicing the outside townsite residents as well as they should when they pay as high a mill rate as they do inside the city.
I'm Linda Giese. One of the things that I have found through the borough offices is they are trying very hard, all of the employees, to communicate with the population. For that, I'm grateful. I also found that there are certain individuals that do not want to have communication with the public or even their own committees. That's unfair, unjust, and some of those committee members are actually paid staff that are being ignored time and time again. Thank you.
Thanks. John, we'll start with you on this one. Some people have talked about the importance of bringing the community together, you know, in the role of someone who's on the assembly. What would you do to make local politics less divisive?
I think we all have to listen. And I think not only do we have to listen, but everything has to be open to scrutiny. I do not believe that we should have all the executive meetings that we're having. Anything that we're willing to do for the city, I think we should be willing to do out in the open, under the open eyes of the public. And I think this is the most important thing we can do to get everybody involved, is to let everybody think they have a voice in what is going on.
Can you repeat that question?
Sure. Some people have talked about the importance of bringing the community together as someone who's on the assembly. Can you talk about what you would do to make local politics less divisive?
I agree that communication is one of the most important things. I think when establishing a public comment policy that is more inviting, making sure that when controversial topics are talked about that we're there able to listen and have public comment where people can participate. I also think that bringing more people in, I agree that there's been too many sessions that have gone in the executive session, and that's usually a mayor's choice, and we've often voted against doing that, but sometimes we're just not the majority.
If you don't get stirred up, you'll sink to the bottom. It's good that people have differences of opinion. Man, we actually need more. More people to get involved. We're not all going to get along. I might as well face the facts. And if you try to get along with anybody, with everybody, you're going to have problems.
I agree that we definitely all need to sit and listen. It's great to have public comment. I think sometimes the borough has a tendency to drag things out into public comment so long that pretty soon all it does is fuel the fire. I believe that we need to have public comment, get the public comment, try to sort through that and come up with a good plan for the majority of the community. We're not always going to agree.
Where do I start and where do I end? Actually, there is a lot of explanations that have gone on in our community in the past on different committees. I'm aware that there is two committees that have been totally ignored. One is the Police Commission, and the other, of course, is the ignoring of the Energy Committee and what their requests were and what their proposals and put in were, and they were ignored, and I think that has to stop.
A lot of times you can see these problems coming. It's no big surprise. We know what the major issues are, and we know where the controversies are. We know who's on each side of an issue, and it's not that difficult to sit down with somebody who you may not agree with and discuss it before the fact, before it becomes public. And hash out your ideas. You'd be surprised sometimes at how close you are in your thinking to somebody who appears to be your polar opposite.
Thanks. Steve, if you'd begin this next one, what should happen to the Haines waterfront?
You're talking about waterfront development or the harbor in general, specifically?
Waterfront in general. Okay.
I think developing that as a gateway into downtown is going to be important. People come off the cruise ships and they're not sure which way to go to get to downtown. Signage is obviously important, but I also think upgrading the sidewalks, making it more inviting to come to the waterfront and enjoy it, access to the beach. We are getting a new PC dock, so that's going to help access to the beach and also parking in some ways. But I think that waterfront, we were told by some engineers who came here and helped us with our revitalization that the downtown, that the waterfront is the place that people want to go, and we need to provide them access to that and make it a beautiful place to visit.
Wow, looks like there's a lot being done right now. I think they started the improvements yesterday for the bathrooms and the dock down there. I talked to Judy from Port Chilcoot, and I guess they own a lot of property on the other side of the dock there towards the Golden Harbor. So there is some private property there that can be considered to be purchased by the borough. Yeah, anytime you put your best foot forward, if you go to Skagway, they spent millions of dollars to introduce Skagway to the cruise ships. And it really is impressive, and we can continue to do that.
I believe it's a good start with the cruise ship dock improvement that they're doing. The harbor still needs to be expanded. We need to have more slips for the fishing boats, because the fishing boats need to be here, live here. The fishermen need to live here. I'd like to see a boardwalk from the cruise ship dock all the way around over to the harbor. And I'd like to see Native partners display their totems and have them for sale. I think it would be a beautiful enhancement for that downtown area.
One of the things that people forget about is coastal zone management. They're wanting of us to depend on what the guidelines are to be a waterfront community. One of the things that I would really like to see is the promotion of not only Haines, but our waterfront is absolutely desirable. I would, in fact, encourage whatever we can get done.
You know, the city of Haines some time ago was looking at expanding the boat harbor, and now we've become a combined government, and we're still looking at expanding the boat harbor. So I would like to promote that. I would like to see where we are in the process and what we can do to expedite that. The other thing I'd like to do, and I've already said that I'd like the borough to get rid of surplus property and get it back on the tax rolls, and I'm going to say something contrary to that now. I think Picture Point may be worth preserving, and it may be worth purchasing by the borough. But I don't want to just purchase it and let it sit. We need to have a plan. What are we going to do with it, and how are we going to use it?
I think the waterfront is exceptional. We've got the new harbor. We probably need some more slips. We've studied it enough. If we get the funding, we need to go on. The dock is being improved as we speak. I don't believe we need any more walkways or Picture Point. I think we've spent enough money on some of this stuff. If somebody wants to buy it and donate it to the thing, I don't think we need any more property. I think we're property poor. We need to get rid of some of this stuff.
Dave, please begin the next question. What changes, if any, should happen to the Haines Tourism Department?
Well, I guess that's up for grabs right now. That is a good question. Obviously, there's got to be more focus where it counts the most. You can't shotgun your efforts. And we might face reality, the focus is Skagway. We can improve our fast ferry system so we can get people over here. They want to come. We can't find space for them. So there are plans, as I speak, to have more transportation from Skagway to Haines, because the ships are not going to come to Haines. There's too much money made in Skagway. So we need to have more fast ferries bring over here.
I encourage Mr. Button to start a fast ferry service. I think the changes to the tourism department should not change I don't think we should take the 1% dedicated tax that was for tourism and has since been voted on to make it part also economic development. I believe we ought to keep the director. I believe we ought to hire a director, keep that department the way it is, and continue to fund that department to bring people to Haines. That is economic development.
Linda Giese. One of the things that I had thought about in great length was, in fact, maybe having some of our wonderful business people out there volunteer to replace Lori on a temporary basis, which they have done time and time again when we've been halfway in between. Now, Lori did a lot of campaigning for us, a lot of desirable work. She brought a lot of business to our community, and for that we're grateful. We do need to think of a round table to find a way.
Haines collects 1% sales tax that's dedicated to tourism and economic development. We spend more on tourism than Juneau. And I just think it's time to maybe reevaluate the community's goals with regard to the tourism director position. Do we want to maintain that position or perhaps mold it into a different position pointed more towards a broader definition of economic development with a comprehensive plan as the guiding force, quality of life, sustainability, and diversity as our goals?
Thank you.
I think the system we have in place has worked. For my own business, I have people come in for tire repair that they've gotten from the website that's been set up for Haines. I think we need to continue the thing. I'd like to see somebody replace Lori. It's just as good and pushes the city. And I think it was a wonderful thing, and I think we need to continue it.
It's not just a tourism department. It's a tourism and economic development department. It's about a $350,000 budget. The majority of that's spent on tourism. We actually spend more money per visitor than any community in Southeast Alaska, which to me doesn't sound efficient or effective. I think it's important to diversify and start increasing our investment in our local businesses. An economic director can take on the position of investing in business and taking care of our tourism. And I see I'm out of time. Thank you.
Okay, we're back with you, Karen, to start this next question. When is it appropriate for the Assembly to go behind closed doors for executive session?
Well, I believe by code it's appropriate when it's dealing with finance or personnel issues. I could be wrong. There might be another one in there, but if memory serves me correctly, I believe it was those two issues by code. But might be another one in there that I'm missing. I think we need to stay as open as possible, but I think sometimes that there needs to be executive session, as there was on Tuesday night's meeting, to get input from the attorney.
Executive session, if you look at not only our national rules and regulations on that, but you also look at our state constitution. One of the recommendations is, in fact, that you only go to executive session if and when there is a request from personnel or an individual who needs to speak, and also with fiscal, and only then.
I believe there's only two reasons to go to executive session. I could be wrong, but I believe it's only two. And the first one is personnel issues. If you have a personnel, somebody you're addressing who works for the borough, the only way you can make it public is if they choose to have it public. Otherwise, it goes to executive session. The other one is litigation, ongoing litigation that the borough might be involved in.
I believe if we're being sued, we have to go into executive session to listen to our attorneys and for personnel matters. And I believe there is no other reason at all, at any time, when anything the Bureau does shouldn't be open to public scrutiny.
I think everyone's right on this. It's legal cases if we're under the threat of any litigation or if we're in a court case, and if we have a personnel issue, because personnel issues are a matter of privacy. Most of the time that when we go into for a matter of legal cases, the lawyer is the one requesting that we go into special session or into executive session. So it's by lawyer request that we go into it, and when we're in executive session, that's when we discuss the matter.
I'll pass on that question. I'd like to do some more research on it.
All right. Linda, if you'd start the next question off, should the borough be involved in managing heliskiing in the valley? Why or why not? And how?
Linda Giese. My greatest concern is that we are restricting businesses that already have regulations in place through FAA. We can only regulate the land. We cannot regulate the air or airspace or any flight pattern.
It just so happens that's one of my bullet points, so I'll just read it off of here. It says that tourism is an important part of our community's economic health, and the people of the community have spoken in the past through state and local ballot initiatives. The will of the majority was that tourism was important, should be encouraged, but well managed. The borough manager or manages tourism by issuing permits. Those permits are roadmaps. They guide the permit holder as to what is and isn't allowed under the terms of that permit, and it's our responsibility as a borough assembly to ensure the laws follow.
I'm all for heliskiing and anything that brings in money to the borough. I think the owners of the companies and the borough has to sit down, as they did in Juneau, and work out what the rules are going to be. How many days? I don't think we can limit that.
I think he's looking over my shoulder. I've supported heliskiing over my time in on the assembly. And I've actually asked every single year that we come together and sit down and open it up and start talking about a way to come to a solution. So I definitely agree that a memorandum of agreement is in order to start working with the heliskiing industry. I also do agree that we do need to manage it. They've asked for management and they want protection to make sure that other heliskiing companies don't come in from outside and take over their business. I think it should be mitigated and not limited.
The marketplace determines the success of a business, and obviously that's a growing industry. And if Haynes doesn't step to the plate, the skiing is going on all over Alaska and in Canada. I go by it on my trip down to Kazyar. So we need to come to grips with the potential of heli skiing and make sure that we find a happy medium that solves that problem.
Do I think the borough should manage heliskiing in the valley? Why and why not?
If so, how?
I believe that the borough needs to be involved, absolutely. I believe that we need to, if there's regulations to be put on the heliski industry, I think it should be done through the business licensing process. I do not believe that the heliskiing is a tour. I do not believe they should have to have obtained a tour permit. And I can tell you in the last, from 2004 to 2008, the increase in sales tax alone, just in the 2 months from heliskiing, was $104,800. Let's see how we'll make that up.
You started with me.
Thank you. You almost got me there. Okay, Greg, we'll start with you on the next one. What should the borough role be in economic development in town?
I think the borough needs to encourage economic development, but like I've said before, I think the way to do that is to make sure that we have a healthy business community within the community first before we go inviting other businesses in from the outside.
I believe that we have to support all our local businesses. We have 491, I believe, licensed right now from the borough and the city. We need to support them. I don't believe we should be giving credits to any outside businesses to come in until first we've looked to to improve what we already have in the city. And I think as we go on, we're doing a good job.
I think that a lot of people agree that downtown needs a facelift. Where we tend to disagree is on just how to do that. I think bringing people together and talking about ways to do that is going to be important in the upcoming years. We've had an engineer come here and do an evaluation, and they've given us lots of ideas, some that will work, some that won't. But if we invested from our economic development fund just $50,000 a year for 10 years, we could have benches, garbage cans, awnings, and we could hire our local contractors to build them.
When I came back to Haines about a week ago, I talked to Greg Goodman, seeing we're running for the same assembly seat, and he said, "David, it's good to see you, but I don't know if I'm glad to see you." Sounds like a good Democrat to me. But let me say this, competition's good. Boy, when you bring a new batter to the plate, you can get more out of existing businesses. When I started in Ketchikan in 1990, they didn't have any competition with independent outfitters. And if you start
Thanks, Dave. That's time, so go ahead, Karen.
So the question was, what should the borough do about economic development?
What should the borough role be in economic development?
I think bringing visitors to Haines is a good start. We can do that the way we're doing it now through tourism, winter and summer, special events. Once you bring people to town, business owners flourish and get healthy, and that is economic development. Give the businesses either grants or low-interest loans through the borough to improve their businesses in downtown. That way we don't have to take up economic development money and put it in downtown, let the businesses do their own improvements in their buildings and possibly, fine. Takes time for everything.
Economic development to me is everything from grassroots. We started grassroots for the library, we started grassroots for the museum. We were very successful at that. And now we need to start again with economic development as grassroots. We need roundtables. And that is most beneficial, not a commission, but a roundtable to develop economic development.
All right. John, why do you think you are a better candidate than your opponents? Go ahead.
I think I have the ability to sit down and listen to everyone. And I'm cheap. I don't want to spend anybody's money that I wouldn't spend myself. And I think it's time that we need to just basically cut the costs of most things that are done. I really feel that we've studied things too much in town, and we need to use the funds that we have on hand and spend them.
We have studied a lot of things in town, and now it's time to implement those plans. We have a deferred maintenance plan, we have a comprehensive plan, we have a downtown revitalization plan. I've always been a forward-thinking guy who thinks about the future, and I think the plans are lined up for us to start doing that. It's time to invest in our community, invest in our businesses, but also strengthen our community. Those are the things that I represent. I'd like to take a balanced approach, and I'd like to see us start implementing the plans that we have, and I agree, it's no longer time to study new things. Let's implement what we already have on our shelves.
If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And my opponents are taking up too much space. They've been here, and the chief was here 18 years running the town and ran me out. And Karen and Duck have been successful for 100 years. But living on the edge, it's pretty tough to take up space.
I'm going to take up all the space I want. Well, first of all, I believe Greg and I have a lot of views the same, pretty close. And I'm not saying I'm a far better person to serve on the borough assembly than my opponent, Greg. I do believe I am a far better person to serve than Mr. Button. I do believe Greg Goodman's residency is a question and his eligibility. And therefore, I'm running to save the borough from a possible lawsuit. And hopefully, when I get on, I can do some good.
Number one, I'm a property owner and have been for 32 years. I haven't lived continually in Haines, but I've seen drastic changes. I'm here to say, as a semi-retired person, I am committed to spending the next 3 years at home with no obligations elsewhere, or I will give them to my husband to carry. I share a line of reasoning. Representative Thomas was instrumental in getting the borough nearly $1 million to retire the taxpayer debt on the PC.
And that's time. Thanks.
I recently turned 60. I recently turned 60 years old, so I have life's experience. 29 years as a law enforcement officer. 10 years here as chief. I have other supervisory experience in law enforcement. I'm a Vietnam vet, combat vet. I've seen and done a lot. I'm a commercial pilot. And the 29 years in law enforcement, if it didn't teach me anything else, it taught me how to listen. And I'll listen to everybody and all sides.
Thank you, guys. And we'll change the pace a little bit. Tom Morfitt with the Chilkat Valley News is going to ask some specific questions to candidates. We're tired of keeping track who begins and who ends, so this will be a little easier. And then after that, we'll take questions from the public.
Thank you, Tara. One specific question for each candidate to answer. We'll start with Karen at the start. That way I won't have to remember to get back to you. Karen, you've been a vocal advocate of a single industry for many years here. What assurances can you give voters that you can represent and work with people from other points of view?
Well, actually, I've been a big advocate for all businesses in Haines, not just tourism. I've been very involved in a lot of volunteer efforts. I have no problem listening. I just believe that Hainesboro has had a tendency to go a direction that has been guided more by a small special interest groups rather than the majority of the community. So I believe taking what the majority, getting the pulse of the majority of the community and what they want. Not everybody goes to meetings, but I can tell you they voice their opinion. And I heard.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Greg Goodman, when you resigned from the police department in 2008, you remarked that you believed that you thought the bar owners ran the town. You believed that they thought that they ran the town, and that you called the current bar time 5 a.m. ridiculous. Do you still stand by those positions?
Absolutely. I'm not going to change my position. I still feel the same way I did when I left. I feel that there's an alcohol problem in the town. I think the town, the elected officials sometimes choose to ignore it or not to address it. And I think the majority of the people agree with me. I've had no negative comments about my comments to my interview with you in the newspaper.
Dave Button, third candidate for the seat. Dave, you cost the borough tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. You've twice, or at least twice, been denied a tour permit here. Why would anyone vote for you?
Well, Deborah Volk helped out because she didn't get paid. Well, that's why I'm on the edge. We need to have a little insanity is doing the same thing over and getting the same result. And I stand for tremendous changes. If the borough has the compassion to let someone that's had a few problems that were blown way out of proportion, and even if you have a record duck where you break a law, you get to cover it and start over again. And Haines needs a policy where you can start over again.
Okay, thank you, Dave. next slate of candidates, I guess. Linda Giese, in slow motion, Linda, can you explain your opposition to grants?
Grants should not be used to balance operations of the borough. That should come from the local taxpayers who are demanding the services provided. However, there are opportunities out there that we can assist with. Infrastructure needs that. will create operational efficiencies and lower the burden on taxpayers, roads, water, sewer, etc.
Kind of hard to compete with some of
this. They're really good. They are. I'm going in.
Okay. Thanks for that answer, Linda. John Wing, local hire. You've been pushing local hire through your campaign and your ads. Local hire, I believe, has been, as ordinance or as policy, has been stricken by the courts as unconstitutional. How is it you can assure local hire? And is that the best policy for the government when someone from outside might be better qualified for the job?
I believe the only way it's restricted is by how you write your applications. If we're writing our applications where we're going outside looking for people with certain needs, certain education requirements, we have to look at home and see what we have. We have a huge, enormous, untapped people here. And if we have somebody doing the job that's doing well, and they're doing it for a less amount of money, I see no reason to go outside and look for more.
And I think Steve Vick, Steve, you had the last one for a specific question. Steve, you've recently come under criticism from the Energy Sustainability Commission or some members of the Energy Sustainability Commission for not relaying information to the borough. How do you respond to that?
I would say that the Energy Sustainability Commission's the most talked about commission, committee, or advisory board at the assembly level. I often speak to the assembly about the commission. I speak with the manager about the commission, and I meet often with the coordinator, Stephanie Scott, about ways to implement their ideas. You have to remember, I'm just one voice and one vote. The ideas may get to the assembly, but it's up to the assembly to act on them as a body. So I'm definitely a strong supporter of the committee. I wrote the resolution. I think that it quite possibly is that some of the criticism is coming from this unawareness of the facts. Again, it's a commission that has a report in our packet every month, probably a 30-page report. And certainly, you can go back and look at the minutes. It is the most talked about commission, committee, or advisory board at the assembly level.
Okay, thank you. I think we're going to move to questions from the audience. Did you want to go to the live audience questions first or the written questions? Maybe we'll go back and forth. Let's go back and forth. We have a written question from Paul Nelson. What is the most important function of local government? Dave, you want to start and we'll go back that way?
Wow, that's a general question. But it's obviously to safeguard the community, and to safety is the number one priority that I think the borough would have, and to implement an umbrella to protect the citizens.
Thanks, Steve.
Here we're going this way. I think the number one fundamental is the basics. Your roads, your sewers, your infrastructure, and supporting the school is also a basic need in the community. Fire and police are under that umbrella, too.
John?
Not to be intrusive and not to negatively affect any of the members of your community.
All right, Greg?
I think the most important function of the borough is the collection of taxes and the way they're spent.
All right, Linda?
There's a lot of things that the borough has taken on over in the past, and I don't think it has anything to do with what the borough is supposed to be doing. I believe that the borough is elected officials to be the voice of the people, to gather up, sort information, and as best respond to the community for their needs off of what tax revenue we have now. We also need to support economic development.
Okay, Karen, just a refresher, the question is, what is the most important function of local government?
Well, it's the most important function, I guess, is to just make sure that our community is safe and the residents are safe. And you can do that through maintaining infrastructure in the community. Schools, education definitely should be high on your priority list. We can certainly tax, and the way we spend that tax revenue should be very, very, I guess, one of the best ways to do it is to just sit down and look at budgets and not be afraid to make cuts if you need to, but on taxation, but education first. Yeah.
Great, thanks, Karen. I think we're going to open it to the public, and I think for the sake of recording, we're just going to have people come up and grab the microphone here. So does anyone have a question they would like to put to the candidates? And please identify yourself before you ask your question.
Ned Rosbicki here. Forgive the sarcasm, but can you think of a more effective way to negatively impact the working class families in Haines than to have increased assessments by an average of 40% and then left the mill rates constant, essentially precipitating 20 years worth of tax increases in just 3 years? If you'd like me to summarize, how do you feel about increasing assessments by 40% and then leaving the mill rates the same, precipitating a tremendous tax increase on the populace in the last 3 years?
Let's see, we started there. Maybe start with Karen again.
Okay. I'm not happy about it. I'm not in favor. And I believe that what happened was when we the people voted to cap the tax back here about 3 or 4 years ago, or whenever it was when the borough got very aggressive about reassessing everybody's property. And it's gone up considerably, and I'm not real pleased about it. But you have an option when you do get assessed, and that is go down and see the borough assessor and appeal it. And I recommend that to everybody when you get reassessed, and your assessment is far higher than you think it should be, and you haven't done any improvements, go see the borough assessor and appeal it. I'm not in favor of it. I mean, I don't like it. It's been too drastic of an increase.
Elena?
My feeling personally, I can speak to the fact that my home is a 100-year-old home and I'm taxed as if it was a brand new home. And it's very confusing for me because I went out of my way to make sure that we remodeled our home so that it not only fit in as a historical house, but now it is the second highest private home sitting on a commercial lot in Haines. So no. No more taxes.
Craig?
I'm not sure one had to do with the other. The increase of 40% in the property tax and the property tax cap, I don't know that one had anything to do with the other. But I know we were out of compliance with the state, and we need to come back into compliance with the state. Now, I'm a property owner, too, and I'm not real happy with the amount of money I have to pay in taxes, but we're all in the same boat, and we're all paying... Hopefully, we're all paying an equal share. So 40% seems like a very large bite to swallow. But remember, we were out of compliance for a very long time.
I've only been here, like I said, 11 years. My taxes first, I thought were super. We've played catch up. I'm probably paying what my taxes are worth now, or what the balance of the people is. I think whenever you play catch-up, it's going to hurt. I hope they don't go up anymore. We need a full-time assessor, I believe, right here in the city. I don't think it should be handled out. We had Mr. Wurst. I didn't agree with almost anything John said about my property, but at least he was here. And I think we have to go on. We're never going to go back down. My wife told me to suck it up and pay him and not pay penalties. And that's what I did.
As property taxes go up, the mill rate needs to go down. As your assessment goes up, you should say, your mill rate needs to go down. We are playing catch up. We did have to bring in outside assessors to get us caught up. We are out of compliance with the state 7 years. and the state wrote a letter saying, you are out of compliance. So we quickly got up to speed. We're at that point. It's time the mill rate goes down.
I would just ditto Karen's comments.
Okay, thanks, Dave. question from Stephanie Scott, a submitted question. What would you do to counter the perception that the Assembly rubber stamps administration recommendations? What can you do to help the public begin to develop the sense that actions are deeply considered instead of dealt with for the sole purpose of moving the meeting to conclusion? I guess, Linda, that would maybe start with you. I think...
Yes.
What will you do to counter the perception that the Assembly rubber stamps the recommendations of the manager, I guess is the question. Someone in Stephanie apparently feels that things aren't being deeply considered, or she's suggesting that maybe that... Stephanie here?
If you want to clarify.
Okay. That's the question.
Well, I'm assuming that she's talking about sitting on commissions. Several times I've had people who have been sitting on commissions that are not listened to, nor have they been called for meetings. My feeling is Stephanie has worked long and hard for our community to earn her paycheck, and she has been ignored, and the commission has. We need to develop the listening, but action to go with the listening.
Well, speaking from experience, as a department head for many years for the borough, I wish there were times that the manager had given my thoughts more consideration. I don't remember ever being rubber stamped. It was always a battle to get something, always had to justify. And if you're referring to committees, Stephanie, I think, you know, the borough appoints committees for a purpose, and there's a lot of time and energy spent by those committee members. When they bring something to the borough, it should have been thoroughly hashed out. This should be the final product that's presented. That's not to say that the borough assembly can't reevaluate what it is that you've already evaluated, change, modify, or disregard, but they should always look at it.
I believe that the members of the Bureau have to do research on every question there is themselves, other than just the packets they receive. They have to go out. They have to be willing to study. They have to be willing to ask the people. I'm willing to do this. Nobody's an expert at anything. I'm the first to admit that. But I'm willing to listen to people. I'm willing to question things. And I think this is what we have to do. We have a public that's well-educated and retired in this community and has been through life. And I think we have to take advantage of that on every question.
I think the various committees and commissions we have actually do get listened to really well at the assembly level. But you have to realize that the assembly has to act as a body. I've worked with Stephanie Scott and the ESC since their inception. And we've done our best to bring all the concerns in the form of reports, in the form of talking directly to the Assembly, making formal recommendations. But it's up to the Assembly to act. And it's an unfortunate thing that some people don't feel heard because the majority of people on the Assembly haven't voted for them, but their voice is getting there. I think also that between the manager, the facility manager, and the borough manager, they've started to write pretty thorough reports to the Assembly on the goings-on of what projects are being done, who's being hired, how much money is going there. And I see that as actually developing further and further that level of communication. That allows for the Assembly and the public to know more what's going on. So I actually think we're heading in the right direction in regards to that.
I'll pass on that question. I'd like to check in to see what a rubber stamp is.
Thanks, Dave. It's always entertaining, Dave. Thank you.
I believe that we voted to have a managerial head of government. And when we did that, we hired a manager, and hopefully you hire a person that is qualified to do the job. And we searched very long and hard to get our manager. I think we should listen to the managers, but I don't think we should ever be afraid to question them. I don't think they should rubber stamp anything that a manager says, oh, I think you should do this, and everybody goes boom, 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 boom. I agree. I disagree with that. I think we should never be afraid to question them. I also think we should listen to the advisory boards. I sat in on the tourism advisory board meeting last Tuesday, and Tuesday night I heard the manager's report to the assembly, and it took him a very long time to get to what the recommendation was, because he wanted, it appeared to me that he wanted to lean more in the direction of economic development, when in fact the tourism advisory board very clearly said, we want to hire a director and stay the way we are.
Alrighty, thank you. Audience question, please.
Did I have my written question here?
Can I refresh my memory? So I can, this will be offered up to everybody?
Yep, if you can.
Okay, so Mike, I'm Fred Einsbrook. My question is, should commercial tour operators obey the law and or their tour permits? And by extension, I'll add that, I mean, why should we obey any law then if you don't agree with that?
I think the question...
You want me to start first so you don't forget?
No, we're going to start with Greg. But raise your hand next time, Kyle. So after Dave answers. Greg, the question I think was, should commercial tour operators obey the law and or the conditions of their tour permits? Question from Fred Einsbrook.
Yes, they should. When they're issued a tour permit, it's clearly defined an outline for them, what it is they can and can't do. And if there are any questions, that's the time to ask them for clarification. They should abide by the tour permit. There shouldn't be any wiggle room. There shouldn't be any modification of. It's a contract between two parties.
John?
I am a firm believer there's always wiggle room. I mean, it's a nasty thing. You sit down, you make agreements, and you can never come up with all ideas on both sides. There's always going to be circumstances that come up. You have to have a borough that's willing to sit down and renegotiate sometimes. It's done every day in the business world, and I think it has to be done. You can't lay everything you want done out in paperwork. But if people do lay it out and they agree to something, both sides have to stand up for what they have agreed to.
This question has come up before, and I'm just going to say that pretty much the same thing I said at the first time. When you get elected to the assembly, you have to take an oath to uphold the code of the borough. You can't pick and choose which laws or which ordinances you want to uphold. I agree if there's concern about the legality of one, it's time to discuss it. But until it's changed, a business with a permit needs to adhere to their permit.
Too many laws make the good ones weak. The problem is, the people in authority only enforce them on who they want to enforce them on. There's a little bit of a clique in that category. So it's pretty hard to toe the line when some people don't and can get away with it, and other ones don't. So there is wiggle room for the right person.
Karen?
Well, I believe they should abide by the laws and abide by the codes and the tour permit, and I'm assuming the question is directed specific to Hellescape. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I don't know what that question was directed towards. I'm saying that the Hellescape code that the Helleskiers have to be under the tour permit, the borough was out of their authority to regulate airspace. And so the borough code needs to be readdressed regarding heli-skiing. These guys were forced to get a tour permit to heli-ski. And if they don't get it, they're not going to have business. But the permit that they're under, the borough has overstepped their boundaries. So you need to readdress the code. And the legal code should be abiding by, correct?
My turn.
No, oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I finally got a turn.
All right.
Okay, if you have the laws of the lands,
You've got to pay attention to them because we are the enforcers of the laws of the land. We give our police department the authority to enforce the laws of the land. We give permits out to enforce the regulations. Again, we have to deal with the heli-skiers and the rules and regulations that really do not pertain to them with what Karen says is in fact. If they don't sign on the dotted line, they're not going to have to follow any regulations anyhow.
Okay, another submitted question. This is a submitted question for Steve Vick from Bill Kurz. Steve, how can you take credit for a balanced budget when it has not been balanced for 3 years that you've been in office? The question is from Bill Kurz.
The budget is balanced, Bill, and we actually have a surplus of about $3 to $4 million, and we're in the black, so I'm not sure where Bill's getting his information.
Maybe you guys can address that at the end of the meeting.
You're welcome to call me, 766-3355.
Can we have another question from the audience? Any other questions? Roger.
Thank you. Roger Maynard here. I have a question specifically for you, Steve. On January 27, 2009, the Assembly passed a resolution unanimously supporting efforts by AP&T to secure funding to do design and data gathering for hydroelectric sources, including Connolly Lake and Shuby Lake. You were among those members present. You voted for it. However, on Monday, February 23, 2009, you wrote a letter to Alaska Representative Bill Thomas opposing AP&T's Connolly Lake project. In the letter, you identified yourself as a Haynesboro Assembly member and spoke of your constituents. You also appeared in Representative Thomas's office for the same purpose. My question is this. Do you think it's proper for an Assembly member to use his or her Assembly title to circumvent the deliberative process, rendering advice or assistance to affect a personal interest when it conflicts with the collective will of the Assembly? And would this be a violation of the Borough Code of Ethics?
So I heard a long statement there, and then I heard a question, so I'm not sure what I'm replying to.
Okay, I'll just read the question again.
I can go ahead and answer.
Okay.
The Borough passed an ordinance to support hydroelectricity. We included Shuby Lake in that, and we also included Connolly Lake. During a radio interview, Bill Thomas had said that he did not hear any opposition to Connolly Lake. I had many constituents call me and say that they had actually talked with Bill in opposition to Connolly Lake. I basically wrote a letter to Bill saying that I had constituents that were opposed to Connolly Lake. I also said in that letter that I had not taken a side on either one of them, and I supported the Borough. I supported the Borough resolution that we passed. So I don't know what letter you're reading, but that's not a correct statement you're making. And I stuck to, and I still stand by, the resolution that was passed by the Borough.
Thank you, Roger.
One more from written. Yeah, written.
This is I believe this is a question for all candidates. Who's up next, John?
I guess so.
All right, this is a question from Gershon Cohen. John, please discuss two or three key aspects of the borough's comprehensive plan and tell us how these perspectives have or will inform decisions you have or will make as an assembly member. Let me give you that again. Please discuss two or three key aspects of the borough's comprehensive plan and tell us how these perspectives have or will inform decisions you will make as an assembly member.
Well, I guess I'd have to read the plan, the individual parts of it, and then I'll decide on it as them. The two things that the borough has supported that I know of in the past are the harbor expansion. I support that. The new dock facilities and the rebuilding and repair of our docks, I support that.
Okay, thanks, John. Yep. Steve? The question again is, please discuss two or three key aspects of the borough's comprehensive plan and tell how those perspectives have or will inform decisions you have or will make as an assembly member.
The comprehensive plan is about a 170-page document, but it does talk about steps that of diversifying the economy. Part of that is hiring an economic director. It also talks about a convention center, which the borough actually just did support. And it talks about a long-term plan for downtown. You've got to realize that the comprehensive plan was written 7 years ago, and it had predicted that, yes, indeed, we will need to revitalize downtown. It talks about supporting the fishing fleet, and I definitely support that. It talks about creating not just an ice machine, but a cold storage unit to help extend our processing season. It also talks about expanding the market into Whitehorse, into Fairbanks, and in the lower 48, since we're attached to a road. And the most interesting thing I find is it talks a lot about quality of life. The quote from there, actually I have a quote from here. It says, the quality of life is linked to a healthy economy, and that in order to have a strong economy, quality schools and a healthy environment are required. And I think it's interesting that our comprehensive plan is that inclusive.
Dave, for you.
171 pages sounds like a new health plan. I'd have to spend some time studying that.
All right, thanks, Dave. Karen.
The comprehensive plan, being extremely long and in-depth, does have some real good things. And the two things that I think that I would address first on the assembly would be the convention center. I think that the bed tax should be dedicated to bringing conventions, small conventions, into Haines. I see no reason why we extract money from an industry and don't use that money to support that industry, i.e. motels, hotels, bed and breakfasts. Fishing fleet, I believe we need to encourage more fishermen to come here and stay here and work here, because we get 5% of the raw fish tax to support our schools, and the only way we're going to do that is to give them a place to put their boats. So I think if we can give some kind of local preference for the fishing fleet in the harbor, then I think that would be a kind of good plan.
Hydropower, economic development, sustainabilities of our businesses now present, and solicit more businesses to come here. We have in the past been known as an anti-development community, and I'd like to see that change and comply on what's been recommended through the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Well, there's a couple of goals under economics in the comprehensive plan. It is a lengthy document, and it's going to take a while to digest the entire thing. But the two things that I took away under economics, and I think those, you know, the economics portion of it is very important, is that to enhance the existing business and economic environment and attract a diversified economy that creates employment opportunities. And I found this other one very interesting. It said promote subsistence activities as a way to augment household economic viability. So this comprehensive plan, it was meant to last 25 years, and we're 7 years into it. And I think we're headed down the right path.
All righty. Another question from our gathered audience. George.
George Figdor. I think it was Linda that mentioned about Haines having a reputation as an unfriendly place. And other people have also suggested various other doom and gloom scenarios that the business atmosphere isn't good here. Businesses are leaving. We seem to be in a downturn, and seem to be a little bit desperate. But on the other hand, you know, I read things, I hear people that come here having the opposite feeling, and I sense that a lot of people are gravitating toward Haines, bringing their own businesses, and creating something new here that didn't exist before. And in fact, maybe Haines is doing better than we really think. So my question is, would you please comment on whether you think that, that Haynes has actually developed a new economy that we really aren't recognizing and giving due credit to.
Okay, has Haynes developed a new economy that we're not recognizing or giving due credit to? I think Steve gets first.
I guess I'll reply to the kind of the doom and gloom. I definitely don't have that impression. The current unemployment rate in Haynes is 4.3. We have business permits on the rise. We have more business permits every year for the past 3 years in a row. We have a stable population. I think our strength in our economy right now is our diversity. I don't know if many people know this, but the Alaska Economic Trends, which is a magazine that comes out from the Department of Labor, has a four-page spread about Haynes in there, and it raves about how diverse we are, how strong our economy is, how we're becoming more and more of a destination. It talks about not only tourism, but it also talks about construction. It talks about our medical establishments. So I think Haynes is doing really well in the economy that the nation is facing. I think Haynes is actually starting to thrive. We have a great solid base, and I think we're actually going to be moving forward further.
David?
George is right. We've diversified. We're not dependent on fishing, tourism, or any one particular logging, which is obviously way down except firewood. So there is an underlying current that Steve brought up. There's a lot of businesses are coming into town. Internet. Man, you can make a living anywhere in the world on the internet. And people like Haynes. That's why I'm here. It's one of the best places in the world to live. And people that come here, the new land management that worked for Tom Hall, just rented my house. He's here to stay. So I think there's a lot happening that we don't notice.
Okay, Karen, do we have a new economy that we're not recognizing?
I'd be happy to recognize a new economy if it surfaced and we could see it. Maybe there's something out there that we're not seeing. We ought to be seeing it in the sales tax, if there is. Steve mentioned we have a 4% unemployment rate, which is very low. But you have to remember, we're pretty much a retirement community. Most retirees don't work. They're on retirement. Or there's other income out there that people live on that doesn't affect the unemployment rate. So I don't know of another economy out there that we're not giving credit to. And if there is one, I'd be more than happy to give it credit. But I think we need to go talk to Christy Tangs, because Christy's one that'll tell you that she struggles every year to keep her business open. And actually, she'd be better off, she says, if she closed it in the winter. The only time she doesn't, the only reason she doesn't, is because she wants to keep people working, and she will go in the hole to do that. And she will give you guys a place to be.
I'll second on the retirement trend. We have a high population of retirees that have moved here. We actually came home before we retired. We have temporary residencies that are here. Many, many of them don't even rent their houses out now. They actually stay here for 6 weeks, and then they go elsewhere. They're building their retirement dream homes. Unfortunately, they're not here year-round. They are using services into their homes, but they're shutting them down and leaving when they've been here approximately 6 weeks. I've talked to a lot of them, and this is not an industry. Retirement is not an industry. Semi-retired means you have to go work elsewhere to be able to afford to live here.
Maybe that is the new economy, retirement. I know I'm trying it, so. The economics in this community are doing fine. And I think we're our own worst enemies sometimes. We're our own worst envoys. We leave the community, we travel throughout the state, we travel outside the state, and it's doom and gloom. We're all, you know, there's some of us that are worse than others, but, you know, we're saying how bad the economy is and there's no work and how expensive things are. So we're our own worst enemies. But I feel for Christy Tangs, you know, and Karen brought that up, and I have gone into her restaurant, and I don't frequent it because I can't afford to eat there. But there are three other restaurants that I can think of right offhand that are new starts.
in this community that you have a hard time getting a seat. So maybe it's management.
John?
I think we have lots of new business in the community. We have retirements. I'm getting old. Greg says he's old already. That's a lot. We need service business. We need electricians. We need plumbers. We need tires. We need mechanics. There are all kinds of opportunities in this community. Food service. You can get fed in this town at any time. Sometimes it may not be what you want, Matt, but it's here. We need to support all industry, all businesses. If people are coming to Haines to live and to retire, we need to realize this. Our medical people in this town are, I think, greatly underestimated. We have people at search. We have people at the clinic, the mental health. These people are here in town spending money. They're part of our economy, and we have to recognize it.
You started with me.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Is there anyone else in the audience who has a question who hasn't answered?
Hi, my name is Royal Henderson. My question's for John. Could you clarify your views as to outside businesses coming into Haines? Because it seems like on a couple different points tonight you've changed between we should be open to all businesses and that we should only support the ones that are in this town. So I'd like it if you would clarify that.
You were asking me that?
I was asking
you that. Oh, I didn't know I was against any new businesses coming into town. Actually, I'm not. I believe we have to support all businesses. And unlike my opponent, I don't think we can write the laws to protect just one or two businesses so no new opposition can come in. We are a free country. We have to be open to all businesses that come in. If more helicopter companies want to come in, whether we like it or not, it's a free country. We don't write the laws so only one or two people can be in business.
Okay, we're out of written questions. Any other questions from our audience? Gershon, I think you've had one question already. I think what we're probably going to do is go to the one-minute wrap-up, and if anyone from the audience would like to engage the candidates, I'm sure the candidates would be pleased to engage the questioners. So we're going to have 1 minute wrap. Anything you wanted to say tonight that you didn't have a chance, if our questions were all slanted and terrible, this is your chance to redress that. We're going to start with Dave, and then we're going to remember Karen.
Thanks, Tom. I think it'd just be redundant to go over what we've already discussed.
Thanks, Dave. Karen, 1 minute. Final remarks?
There's a lot of contentious issues in this town sometimes, and when those come up before the borough assembly, it's like everybody calls their friends and says, we need to rally the troops and go to this meeting. And charge we go. And then, you know, everybody speaks their mind, which that's what the public hearings are all about. I think it's wonderful to get people to the borough assembly meetings to speak their mind. But I can guarantee you, for every 10 people that you can put in a borough assembly meeting that will be against Shelley's scheme, I can walk right out the door, and within a couple of hours, I can get 50 that are for it, that will not go to a borough assembly meeting. They do not want to speak in public. They do not want to stand up, but they feel just as sincere as everybody who speaks. So I think we need to listen to everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Linda?
The idea of sharing stuff equally is not a bad idea. Actually, if it's combined to a closely knit group of people who care for each other deeply, as in a family. And we have that here in the Valley. We also have the sibling rivalry. We also have the prisoner dilemma, almost, or tragedy of the commons. You don't usually arise in a small, persistent group. In any case, we end up with free riders in small groups, and they can easily be identified. Also, most people value the welfare of their own family members more than they value the welfare of strangers. And that's part of the business world, is we want to take care of our family here locally. And that means every resident be listened to, their values, their morals, their issues. And when I hear my opponents for my seat, I say, listen a whole lot better. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll
Greg?
Just expand on some of the things that I mentioned at the beginning. And the first one I mentioned was a reserve account. And the borough isn't a bank, and I don't think they should act like one. To have over $3 million in a reserve account, when we have issues in this town that should be addressed, you know, streets, sidewalks, and those sorts of things, is not right. You know, certainly we should have some rainy day money, maybe $500,000, but over $3 million is just a little bit too much. So we could cut property taxes. That's a popular thing on a temporary basis until that money is spent down. The second thing that I mentioned, and I'm not going to get through them all, was recruit and retain qualified personnel. I think far too often we watch qualified, competent people who are moving forward in this community, who are in management positions within the borough, leave for one reason or another. And it's been my experience that the borough and the city before the borough didn't offer any sort of compensation, any sort of incentive for those people to stay. I'd like to see that change.
Thanks, Greg.
I hope to be the next person that sits on the assembly. I'm open to all ideas from all people, but I believe decisions have to be made and they have to be carried forth. We need to spend less money. We have to work on an infrastructure. I think there's too many rivalries in town that get carried over into little fights on the borough. I think this needs to end. We have to just go forth with the business of the community for all members of the community. We don't need labels on either side. It's time we stick together, we move forward with the community. And I think there's enough people that don't voice their concerns that will do this. Everybody has to have part in the community.
I guess I would like to comment on what's already been said. I heard my opponent say we should spend less and work on building our infrastructure. I'm not quite sure how he plans on building the infrastructure by not spending money on it. We do have a balanced budget, we have a surplus, and we have a plan to get the infrastructure fixed. In regards to listening, I've always been on the assembly as a listener. I've called people, I ask questions, and I think what my opponent is referring to is mostly heliskiing. And heliskiing is the one issue that I am the only assembly member every single meeting. Let's talk about this. Let's open it up. And none of the assembly members have ever wanted to open it up and talk about it. It came to a point where this year actually co-authored a resolution to bring all interested parties together to talk about the issues. Nobody wants to talk about the issues. It seems sometimes that I'm actually the only one listening.
Thank you, Steve. I think that's going to wrap up our forum for KHNS and for the Chilkat Valley News. I'd like to say thank you to the candidates for your time, and thank you very much for running. It's very important to have people interested in our government. It's critical, actually. Again, thank you very much, and good night. And if anyone has any further questions, I encourage the candidates and the questioners to stick around.
You've been listening to the Haines Candidate Forum, recorded on Monday night at the Chilkat Center for the Arts. All six candidates running for Haines Assembly were part of the forum, hosted by the Chilkat Valley News and KHNS Radio.